Hello, Morro Bay, and welcome to the December 19, 2013 edition of the Public Works Advisory Board. Please be advised that we have four members in attendance, and we can establish a quorum. We do have a vacancy on board, so anybody out there in Morro Bay think you'd be willing to interested in serving on the Public Works Board, please contact the city staff. So with that, we'll call to order. We're going to have a moment of silence. Okay, wonderful. And with that, do we have our next item? Or do we have any announcements or presentations? Please go ahead, Deborah.
On behalf of all of the residents of Kings Avenue, I would like to thank Sousa Company and all of their workers for a magnificent job of repaving the street. It was fun to watch, and it's fun to drive on, and I just wanted to tell everybody what a great job they did and how much we appreciate it.
Well, that's great to hear, and I know later in the director's report, I do have a question about the Kings Avenue project. With that, Marlis, do you have something to say?
Yes, I do have an announcement also. I just wanted to let everybody out there know about the Morro Bay Winter Bird Festival, which is coming up Martin Luther King weekend here in Morro Bay, January 17th through the 20th. Over 120 events are planned over 3.5 days, and we this year are trying to encourage more local participation, so we have a number of public events that are open to the public without any registration fees. So Family Day, Saturday the 18th, there's no registration. We have a number of events at that. There's small fees associated, but very small. Pacific Wildlife Care is putting on two shows at the Vets Hall on Saturday, and we have Glenn Stewart coming in on Sunday to give a presentation about peregrine falcon recovery, and Monday morning, the Mind Walk series at the museum is also featuring Glenn Stewart, and he's going to talk about bald eagle recovery, and of course, the Bird Festival Bazaar is open to the public for the entire weekend. So we hope you join us, and if you want any more information, go to www.morrobaybirdfestival.org.
Well, that's great to hear that. I mean, that really opens up Morro Bay. Those of you in Morro Bay, you know that Morro Bay comes alive for the Bird Festival. And I'm very serious. It's always fun when all the folks come to town. With that, no further announcements. Do we have any public comment?
New business.
Okay, no problem. And with that, we're going to move on. There's no public comment. We move on to our consent calendar. And Rob, we're going to go, instead of doing the whole thing, we're going to go piece by piece, okay? And so we have the minutes from November 4th, 2013. Do we have anybody have anything to say about that, or can we have a motion to accept?
The water reclamation facility, since the last meeting, there was a public workshop on the 5th, the day after your Public Works Advisory Board. It went to council on the 12th. Council gave direction, and then we brought it back to council at the last meeting, and I think everybody knows that the council did reconfirm their goals for the water reclamation facility and, you know, clarified a few of them, including making sure that it's includes neighborhood compatibility, water reclamation as a phased component, and the priority for the sites were to look at the Morro Valley sites. Next in priority would be the Choro Valley, and third would be the Giannini site. Gave direction to staff to start speaking with property owners and doing some due diligence on the specifics for those sites, making sure that no constraints on those sites. We are still working on maintaining our existing plant and keeping it operating. We had a JPA meeting where I Thursday, where I announced that our electrical engineer from Black & Veatch had gone through the plant, and it was good for another 10 years. And the next day, We had a switchgear failure at the front of the plant, and we're still recovering from that. It's caused some problems with our standby generator. We've had to rent a temporary standby generator, and our guys are probably still at the plant right now trying to get with our contract electricians, trying to get it operating, because we don't want, if there was a power glitch in the middle of the night, it not to transfer over to generator power, because without power, that the wastewater does not move through the site. The other maintenance projects are going real well: digester cleaning, heat exchanger replacement, and then we're working on putting out to bid the new screening units for the front end of the plant. So that's all going well. It's just I happened to mention that the electrical system was fine, and Friday the 13th it went bad. Water, we're back on state water after our shutdown, and the City of Morro Bay citizens did a great job in conserving, and we were able to make it through that shutdown on our local supplies.
Can I jump in here, Rob? Was our shutdown this year, state water, was it longer than usual? Was it the entire month?
It was a week longer. So they went 3 weeks. They went from the 22 days, I think it was, from the 4th to the 26th.
Was there a particular reason for that, or was that?
They had to do some additional maintenance at Devil's Den. I think they had to drain a couple of tanks to do some maintenance that they normally don't have to do. So that took a little bit longer for the maintenance. The latest word from the state is next year's allocation will be at 5% of the requests. So with our drought, but we can request up to 1,313 acre-feet a year of state water, and we have about a 2,900 acre-foot a year drought buffer insurance policy. So you add those two together and multiply it times what the percent allocation is to know what our maximum we can receive. We will receive of our we've averaged about 1,100 acre-feet a year state water of our 1,313. We can get 180 acre-feet a year state water next year if the 5% remains. So the rest of that water will be made up still of state water. We have, since we haven't taken our full allocation every year, that water goes into storage in San Luis Reservoir, which is up north off of Highway 5, on their way to Hollister. So we have about 2 years worth of supply and storage there. So that's where that water will come from. And then we'll have another shutdown, I'm sure, in November of next year. And we will have to use our local supplies during that time. So we'll be on our local wells running through our brackish water RO treatment units at our desal plant.
Rob, also, can I jump in there?
Sure.
Talking about the San Luis Reservoir with our drought buffer, understanding, reading in this Fresno Bee in the last few months, there are concerns about the San Luis Reservoir. Have you heard any inklings of the water supply dwindling there and where our drought buffer might be threatened?
I don't think the stored water for the maybe a little bit south of Anchor, so not quite into the park itself. We have a manhole
right by
the Embarcadero Inn.
Oh yeah, that's
just south of that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, north to the lift station 2. Is basically the limits of the project there.
That would be quite, wow.
So we don't need to really dig up the street to do that because we'll be lining that pipe. We'll be putting a liner in there. But when you line it, we're going to have to coordinate with the businesses, because when the liner goes in, you may not be able to discharge. So we're looking at probably a year from now before we do that work. So sometime after Harbor Festival, but before it rains. And that's always a tricky date to predict when the rains will come. So It's good for construction, the dryness, but not good for anything else.
And how serious is the water, groundwater intrusion at this point?
Operationally, it's not causing a problem. It's a cumulative all over town. We have groundwater coming into our pipes. That's the INI, the infiltration and intrusion. And that's why, for example, our treatment plant will be designed to handle 1.5 million gallons a day. On a peak wet weather day, we could expect as much as 8 million gallons a day of water. So it's less expensive to keep it from getting in there in the first place than to try to pass it, design a facility that will treat it and pass it through. So that's really where we're working on that. And that's part of our overall sanitary sewer master plan is to, we've identified areas where we need to work, where the hot spots are, the best way to fix those. The other kind of hot spot is the north, the main street line from Atascadero Road probably not all the way to Yerba Buena, but it's quite a ways. And that has some capacity issues and some INI. So we're doing repairs in the, for example, like in the Tree Street neighborhoods to reduce that amount of flow that comes down into that line.
Is that what the trucks have been doing here lately? I've noticed them in North Morro Bay. There's been some on Main Street. Have they been cleaning out the, is that what's been
cleaning going? And videoing, yes.
Okay, got it.
Next is, can we get into streets and sidewalks? My usual plug for the Notify Me portion of our website. If you have a favorite pothole that is hanging around that longer than you think it should, be sure you use the Notify Me to let us know about that. Same thing holds true with if you see any sidewalk issues. There's a multitude of those, but we don't mind hearing more about those. So the Notify Me left-hand link, click on that, brings up a dialog box that you can fill out a web form that will get that to the maintenance folks. It also has, for the other departments, and some general communications to the city that can be made. But that's our best way for tracking of those issues. The SUSA contract was for street rehab work, somewhere over $450,000 worth of work SUSA did all over town, a lot in North Morro Bay, King Street. Kings and Andros were our major dig out and repair. The rest of it was spot repairs. We followed up with a contract with American Asphalt, who just finished up this afternoon, and they did microsurfacing over the tops of those streets to seal that surface. We also did some crack sealing on some streets to keep the water from getting in there and causing further degradation of the streets.
So besides that overlay that they did, for instance, on Hemlock, because it came out great, and looking on Beachcomber, some of the work that SUSA did, is there also going to be striping to on Hemlock to go back? Is there any sort of painting
we'll
to do on Hemlock?
We'll replace all the striping that was gone. We have to wait about 3 weeks after the sealing was done for the asphalt to cure. Otherwise, the oils in the asphalt will bleed right back through that thermoplastic paint, and it basically turns it all gray. So we need about a three-week cure time. They put down temporary tabs for striping and folks that are in the neighborhood. Then our urban forest management plan, we did take that to Planning Commission. Planning Commission did approve that, and we'll be right after the first of the year, we'll be taking it to council for adoption. And that concludes the director's report, and happy to answer any further follow-up questions that you might have.
Okay. Any questions this way? Marlis?
No, I think we were asking them as we were going
yes.
along.
Yes. Well, yes.
We were interrupting.
Thank you for allowing us to interrupt or me to interrupt. And Okay, well, great. And so director's report is finished, A2. We move on to old business. No, I don't think, do we need to approve?
No, it's a receive and file report.
So we move on to old business. There is none. We move on to C, new business. And the first item is C1, which is review of public art proposal, painting of traffic signal control cabinets, Quintana and Main.
So this is coming to you based on a request from Elizabeth Morin and Marianne Britton to kind of adopt the two traffic control boxes at our, the only city-maintained traffic signal in town at Main and Quintana, and to do basically an art project on those. And in the staff attachment to the staff report, gave a couple examples of their work. This isn't probably precisely what they're going to do on those boxes, but it gives some examples of what it might look like. We've also attached our public art procedures. It will also go to Recreation Parks for their input and on to Council for final approval. Staff supports this request for this art box program. I've seen it in other cities, and although I do like Caltrans Green, it's kind of faded Caltrans Green now, and it does need a kind of freshing up. And they did a really good job. I don't know if you've noticed them, the ones that they painted in City of San Luis Obispo. They're attractive, and they actually, there's enough of them there where they have a walking map of them, and you can visit all of them and see all the artwork that's been done on them. So that concludes my staff report, and happy to answer any questions.
Okay, with that, do we have any questions about that? I think it'll look really nice there. I think it's a great idea. Do we have any public comment, or is the next item? Okay, no, just checking. Okay, with that, being that we have a quorum and we need a recommendation to move this forward, can we have a motion to accept this and move it forward?
I move we accept staff recommendation and move this forward for approval.
All right, so we have a motion and a second, so moved. And do we have everybody in favor? Please say aye.
Aye.
Those in and not in favor, say nay. Motion carries 4-0. All right, wonderful. Can't wait for that thing to be done. It's going to be very nice. Our next item, C2, is request for stop sign at the intersection of Marina and Fresno and review of the public process for street control signs. So there you go, Rob. Would you like to present before we have public comment?
Yes, that probably would work best. This item comes to you based on direction from City Council to bring this to Public Works Advisory Board and then follow it up with Council. We plan on bringing it to Council and right after the first of the year in January. City of Morro Bay receives 10 to 15, probably a dozen requests a year for stop signs at a variety of intersections around town. In order for wearing my hat as city traffic engineer, for us to approve those, we have certain requirements that need to be met, and we go out and count the traffic, observe the intersection, and if it meets all the requirements, we would install a stop sign. Very few of the locations that we look at around town actually meet one of the first requirements is the volume warrant. That we just don't have the traffic volume that was that would require a stop sign. Not to say that stop signs don't get put up for other reasons, and because we see stop signs in the neighborhood that have the same amount of volumes, but those have been authorized by council. Council doesn't have the same restrictions as I do to install stop signs. So this particular location at Fresno and Marina Streets, we counted cars, looked at the approaches, the peak hour traffic volumes are in the neighborhood of 20 to 25 cars per hour. Doesn't even come close to the requirements that you would need for a stop sign. Accident history, there's just not the accident history there. So this photograph is from earlier this afternoon. I am traveling southbound here, and you can see off to the east there, I think it's Ceanothus might be on that corner, and it grows up above the 30-inch height limit in that site distance triangle. So we need to advise that property owner to lower that vegetation. We might even suggest to them some lower form of ground cover there that they don't have to continue to maintain. But at least this afternoon and this several times I've driven it over the past few weeks, that really is the only site distance constraint that I see here. The other part of this issue is the public process to request a stop sign. The city municipal code doesn't have a real defined public process. It talks about, you know, council's ability to install traffic control devices. We brought to the Public Works Advisory Board about a year ago a stop sign petition process that was not really supported by the majority of the board, so that process died there. I believe your resident civil engineer on the board was adamant about not installing stop signs where they're not indicated. There's a problem with them being violated, an enforcement issue, and they're just not needed. But given that, a lot of cities do have a process for requesting stop signs. San Clemente, I gave the example of in the past, the city of San Luis Obispo, they all have petition processes where the community can come together and request a stop sign. If the neighborhood feels that they actually need a stop sign there, they come together with this petition, majority of the property owners, and they pay for the installation of the stop signs, and the city installs them with these examples that I've given in the past. So, but the city does not have that program. The process here would be to basically request that council install the stop sign. So my recommendation here would be to more formalize a stop sign program and get that adopted by council so that there is an avenue for the neighborhoods to request a stop sign. If I put my traffic engineer hat on, there are problems with unwarranted stop signs. But from a neighborhood traffic and traffic management situation, it does seem to be an option that should be kept in that toolbox. That concludes my staff report, and happy to answer any questions, and then you can open it up for public comment.
Okay, so as we go, how about if we go start this direction? Marlis, do you have any questions for Rob before we open up to public comment?
Yeah. Well, first I noted that your analysis was actually done almost 2 years ago. So my first question has to do with whether or not there's been a change in the traffic volume over the past couple of years. So that's question one.
In my opinion, there's been not a significant change that would affect this study. There's not been an increase in accidents.
Okay. But it would imply that since you did this analysis 2 years ago, that there was a complaint at that time, and now there's been a subsequent complaint. Is that correct?
That's correct.
To place my other question had to do with where your criteria comes from to decide whether or not a stop sign is warranted. I noted that you said there's multiple sources for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, especially about, it sounded to me like it was a big city kind of a justification. I mean, given the traffic volumes. And as you pointed out, it's like very few locations in Morro Bay would qualify under that criteria for a stop sign.
Right. It's the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control. Some people thought that the north-south streets had the right-of-way because they were the bigger streets. But then you'd hear from other people that it was actually the east-west streets have, and hopefully they never met. But the state of California does set up criteria on how you drive through controlled intersections.
Right.
Some traffic engineers would state that it is safer than having a stop sign there because you need to be much more observant driving through an uncontrolled intersection. There's no reliant on dictating which person has the right of way.
Right. And then finally, I'd like to ask, have there been recent accidents at that intersection in the past year?
I believe there has been one accident in the past year there, but it wouldn't. There has to be five accidents in a.
Well, and I have to say that seemed a little strange to me because I would hope that one of those five wasn't a fatality. That seems like a lot of accidents before you're going to take some action to put in a stop sign. That's why I was wondering where the criteria came from.
Yeah, it's a state standard and. Most cities would use that same criteria in establishing where stop signs should be from an engineering standpoint. That's
right.
Not to say that the governing body cannot, does have the ability to install stop signs wherever they so choose without adhering to the engineering requirements.
With that, Deborah, do you have anything?
I agree with you on the stop sign procedure policy being in place first, because you have to have a place to start. And secondly, the mention of the enforcement of the height barriers of vegetation is a prime complaint of mine. My husband is always yelling at me for pulling my nose too far out into the intersection. I said, I can't see. There's cars on this side. There's a big bush on this side. I can't see. But then when I do that, the people coming in front of me think I'm going to go right out in front of them, and then they stop because they think I'm not paying attention. And it does cause you to have to be very slow and very cautious. And as we were speaking earlier, a lot of us residents understand that when you're driving around Morro Bay, you're not doing 40 miles an hour. You're driving very slowly, and I think if we could get the stop sign procedure in place and have some enforcement of the height barriers of plants around people's property and that they were restricted to the right height level, that would be a big improvement to prevent these accidents. And that's it.
When I went out and checked this intersection out, and when I was going north on Fresno and you come to Marina, it is very hard to see. I think that's where all the vegetation is. In fact, I was really not aware that Marina was coming up there, that it was going to be a cross street. So following the rule that, you know, you person on your right comes stop, you know, you come to a four-way stop and then. But if it's hard to see if there's an intersection, then you're not going to be ready to stop there. So that was my first thing I noticed. And you said there are violations on stop signs that people just tend to go through them sometimes. But what about yield signs, or do you have any information on if people pay attention to yield signs?
I haven't done a whole lot of I would say that we either should put a stop sign or no sign there. The yield sign, to me, is confusing to a lot of people. What you exactly do at a yield sign.
Okay.
I used to work in the state of Washington where it was common to have a flashing yellow ball in one direction or maybe a flashing yellow ball in both directions. When you see that yield sign, you're not sure what the other cross traffic is going to do. Sometimes people think that they're going to yield also, and there was a fatality in that situation where they slowed down there, saw that there was a car coming on this was a state highway and a county road situation, quite fast speeds on the state highway, They assumed, because there was a flashing ball, there was also a flashing ball on their side, and they proceeded across and were T-boned there, and there was a fatality that occurred. And, you know, ever since that, I've really never personally, and from my engineering, best engineering judgment, it's not a good idea in this type of situation to use a yield sign. The only place I see them really being effective is in a roundabout situation, just to remind you that you don't need to stop, just yield to that, deal with that. And this property owner is, there's a letter going out today to them to reduce the height of that vegetation in that triangle area.
Okay. Thank you.
So, you've answered a lot of questions about the sightlines, and it is a complaint-driven process. We have to be clear of that. And so, you folks watching this at home, and that if you have an issue, you necessarily can't wait for a city to do it, because they have stuff that they're doing, but then it's also you need to let them know. So, also, my next question is, why are we getting this at PWAB and isn't necessarily going to City Council? Is there a reason?
It came up as a public comment at City Council a few months ago, and they directed it to come to PWAB. This is our first opportunity, really, to bring it to PWAB. So that's why you're seeing it first, for maybe some discussion. I think Council was, at least the Council member that brought it up to bring to PWAB, was concerned about the process to whether that petition process existed or not, and to have some discussion on that. So that's, I believe, why it's coming to PWAB.
Because, I mean, it seems to me, since we have this larger idea or process of getting stop signs put around the city, but City Council can, at their discretion and their decision-making process, put stop signs where they wish, correct?
They can. They're probably going to hear the same story from me, that is, it is not warranted, and I would not recommend to install it.
No, I'm totally with you, because I remember when we finally got stop signs on San Jacinto Street. You know, for years there was no stop signs on San Jacinto and Greenwood. But I understand what you're talking about with this intersection at Fresno and Marina. That's it for my comments.
I do have another question. What is being contemplated? One stop sign, four, or two stop signs? Where would these stop signs be? Would they be stopping the traffic on just one street?
Now, we haven't analyzed that, where we'd put them, because I don't recommend that we install stop signs there. I would probably need to look at the pattern in the neighborhood, and driving around there today again, I don't know if there was a pattern established for how they would control. Sometimes there's two blocks without a stop sign, sometimes there's one block. It doesn't seem like in the past there was any traffic plan. I think they probably came up requests like this, and they were approved one at a time without really thinking about how you would control the traffic. I would think you would want a two-way stop there, take the where the most problematic sight distance areas are, and that into consideration in the installation of the stop signs.
Okay. And then the other comment I just wanted to make, just in noticing in your report, you mentioned that it costs about, was it $1,500 of staff time to do an analysis for a stop sign, but $400 for a stop sign. And it just struck me that why not just put in a stop sign? I come from Minneapolis, and in Minneapolis, in residential areas, that's what they would do. They said it costs more money to do the analysis than to just put the stop sign in.
That
is
true. We do want to do things in our, you know, we traffic engineers like to analyze things first before I. I've been go a little off script here. I think the industry is changing, though. Talking with, for example, a traffic engineer from San Clemente, he was the first traffic engineer that I spoke to that at a conference that he thought that these neighborhood signs should be installed, and they are a tool in the toolbox for neighborhood traffic management, and I may be coming around to that that way of thinking, but it's been a long time in training, and you know, state guidance not to install traffic control devices where they're not needed. The other issue is the enforcement side of it. If you have a stop sign, you should be enforcing the stops there, and that means, you know, a lot more traffic work for our police department. Because it does no good if everybody in the neighborhood realizes that.
My name is Don Henderson. I live on Fresno Avenue, and I'm the one that initiated the process to the city council back in early July. I do have some questions, and do you have a laser pointer at all that I can point out some things here? How do I operate this? Just printing right here?
Press that button right there.
Okay. The accident happened on June 28th. I happen to live over right in this area.
If you could maybe marry up with your microphone.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Okay. I happen to live in this area here. This accident happened early in the morning. I don't think Mr. Livick indicated he had driven that area early in the morning. Between 7:30 and 9, the traffic is quite more than early afternoon. There, in addition to the overgrown vegetation that's been addressed here, and I want you to know that's been significantly improved since my presenting this, parked cars on the apron here at 846 Marina on both sides, they have aprons here on Marina and then also on Fresno, have parked cars from rental units at 846. That impede the visibility tremendously. It's not just the overgrown vegetation. And the accident on June 28th, the person coming down Marina on impact did a 180-degree turn. The person coming this way on Fresno wound up right in front of my home with a tremendous radiator leak. And a firefighter in our neighborhood indicated that that car could have caught on fire. I presented a petition to the city council with 45 signatures on it. 45 of my neighbors are very concerned about this. In the 5 years I've lived there, there's been 3 accidents. One of my neighbors who's lived there 12 years remembers 10. So this is nothing new. And I would encourage anybody that really wants to see it to look at the parked vehicles on this apron here, both on Fresno and on Marina, which impede the traffic tremendously if you're trying to drive there. You have to inch forward like you indicated. So I don't want to be living there and be involved in having to render aid when there's a possible fatality or somebody with a major injury. Lucky this particular accident, there was not a major injury. The woman who was involved in the accident just got back from 4 months in South Africa. She wanted to come tonight, but she's jet-lagged out. And incidentally, one of her children was also in an accident at this intersection a few years ago. She's had 2 in one family. So I understand that you want a petition process, et cetera, but I just don't think I can wait. And I went to city council because I want to sort of not have on my watch living there something happen that could be drastic to one of our people who live there, their property, or we have a fatality. Our recommendation for the 45 people here was originally to have a yield sign, was not to have a stop sign. If Mr. Livick thinks that the yield signs really don't work, well, then that's fine, but we want a sign. We think that anything less is just not going to be assisting us in any way at all. Okay. Okay, I would just like to just kind of finally say that I might have gone, directly going to the council and not have gone through the correct channels in order to present this. And that's something that, maybe I could have been a little bit more attuned to. But I'm really hoping that local government will work. And that's why I put this effort into it and talking to my neighbors, getting them to think about this. And I just think it's the kind of situation that we really need to respond to. Thank you.
No, thank you very much for coming and speaking. Very nice. Nicely done. And so with that, so we bring it back to the board. Do we have any other questions for our speaker or for Mr. Leiter? Yeah, go ahead.
Are you aware of this accident? Do you know the particulars of this accident?
I don't know the details of the accident. We're almost a year behind on getting our accident reports from PD. I know they told me about the accident. I heard it at the council meeting.
I was just interested in how fast the vehicles were traveling at the time of impact.
I don't have that information.
Because to push the car into his yard, they'd have to be going at a fairly good clip.
Yeah. Appears that there might have been speed involved.
Yes.
It is a 25 mile an hour zone.
Right. So maybe some kind of additional speed zone tracking
allow us to be better informed about how to make these decisions, and the council, I'm sure, would appreciate that too.
I definitely agree with our speaker and what we're talking about. Everybody has decided opinions about that area. Rob, so a question before I think we go to make a motion is, whatever recommendation we have tonight, it would the yield sign idea the gentleman brings up, is there a reason? And I think you spoke about the yield sign before, saying, well, God, it's not as good. It's next to nothing, really. If we make any sort of recommendation, I guess it's up to us. What would you say in terms of yield or stop?
I would say if we're going to put any signs up there, I would recommend stop signs, not yield signs. I would tend to avoid the yield sign. The stop sign gives positive indication on what you need to do. And I think the yield sign, some people have question on what to do when they come to yield signs.
It's too much of a maybe. Also, I notice on Anchor Street there are a couple stop signs. And did they go through the same process?
I don't know how stop signs were installed in the past in Morro Bay. There are some old council. The council used to install the previous traffic section required a council resolution to install any traffic control device. So every stop sign went to council. They changed that back in 2008 and gave the power to the city traffic engineer, but also reserved that power for themselves if they felt that a stop sign was indicated that they could require that stop sign be installed. So most stop signs, I think, before 2008 were via resolution by
so,
council.
Well, okay, that brings up, I think we're about ready to make a motion. So would that be a subcommittee if we have to establish some sort of stop sign committee citywide? Because one doesn't exist. Would we bring that to our traffic committee? I think that already does exist, don't you?
Yeah, there's a traffic safety committee. I would suggest if we established a policy that, and there was a majority of the neighborhood that wanted a stop sign, I don't think that it would really need to go to a committee, per se, to basically evaluate it and approve it. There, as I presented last time, there was certain criteria for that stop sign to be installed, how it got paid for, it was a pretty well set process. I think I've seen it work in place in San Luis. There have been neighborhoods that have come together and say, we absolutely, the traffic engineer would say, we don't There's no stop sign warranted here. We're not going to put one in. The neighborhood would come together. We need a stop sign here. It would get put in, and it I think it works well there. That's why I offered that example last year.
So we could direct you and your staff to come up with a policy that we could look at a future meeting.
Or this is going to council in January. Mm-hmm. You could recommend that we push forward a similar policy that this board has that reviewed last year and bring that to council.
So I think what I see going, do you want to jump in? Because I see we have two motions. One is we can make a motion based on this immediate situation on Fresno and Marina, and we have a vote, and we can also establish another motion to recommend to City Council to establish this policy.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure what policy was brought forward last year. I actually looked at the minutes from that meeting, and it didn't look to me that there was a policy brought forward. So I would like the opportunity to review a policy before we would recommend it to City Council, if that's if others would.
I'll leave that to your discretion on what motion.
So with that,
I can work either way.
Okay.
No, I agree with you, Marlis. I think in right now, in terms of expediting the situation, Marina and Fresno, well, let's deal with that right away, and then maybe take a more take a step back and come, because City Council will be meeting in January. That'll deal with this issue right now in Fresno and Marina. But then at our next meeting, we can start to establish a more ordered policy on this stop sign committee. Okay. So with that, would anybody like to make a motion, uniform policy? Do we need a motion to do that?
It probably would be clearer if you made a motion that you would like staff to bring back at the next meeting a examples of citizen stop sign policy petition process or some such animal for your consideration and recommendation to City Council.
Perfect.
Okay, so moved with Mr. Leivick's wording to have this these ideas brought to our next meeting. So we have a motion. Do we have a motion for that, Marlis?
Yes, I will move that we do that.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we and all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. So a motion is for staff to bring stop sign policy to the next PWAB in February and to establish a more uniform policy citywide for the establishing of stop signs. Okay, great. So with that said, that is the last item on our agenda, and that will probably be our future agenda item. Does anybody else have any ideas for future agenda items that you would like to be brought up in our next meeting?
We'll also be updating you on the water reclamation facility process. I think that's probably going to be a fairly regular item. I think keeping it at the forefront of the community and using the Public Works Advisory Board until another technical committee is established would be a good idea to keep that on the agenda.
So you'd like to use PWAB as a forum in also dealing with JPA, depending on how that develops with Cayugas?
I'll wait until I receive direction on that from council.
So no, I for one, from PWAB standpoint, for a number of years, I would think it's very beneficial that people have another venue to hear about the wastewater reclamation. So I think that's a great idea.
So a council meeting will plan on having a staff report, or the Public Works Advisory Board meeting will plan on having a staff report that kind of details out what's been accomplished and what we're looking forward to doing in the project.
In addition to that, stop signs, wastewater reclamation, I for one, I would like to have an update on streets and roads, and because we've had in the last 12 months, we've had a number of maintenance improvements in the city. I think it would be a good way if there somehow we can get staff to bring not only a map of the city, if we had examples, maybe pictorial evidence that we could show and say, this is what's been doing, especially with our, and that's just a way of pushing it out there to show people what's going on citywide.
Yes, thank you. You, Rick wanted me to bring that, Rick Sauerwein, Capital Projects and Engineering Manager. He's suggesting that we kind of have the street summit as an annual item, but we probably won't be ready until the February meeting to do that. That's why we didn't have it on tonight's agenda, because we're switching software that we're going to be using for kind of our street maintenance modeling. So we're going to from Paver to Street Saver, which is what most other cities in California use.
No, okay, great. Well, so it looks like we could have a good full agenda in February.
So what I see on the agenda for February is a kind of a receive and file water reclamation update, the streets and roads update, and then the stop sign policy.
And on also, folks, for instance, those of you watching at home, I've received a few emails in the last few months, especially about the San Jacinto situation between Anchor and Birch. If you have any issues that you have dealing with public works situations here in Morro Bay, please contact Public Works, Mr. Leivick. My email is also on the city. You can contact us on the board, and that way we can. You're watching at home, and if you have any ideas, you let us know. And so with that, I think that's the future agenda items. And with that, happy holidays and happy new year. And we will see you in February. Thank you. And that concludes our meeting.